On another exciting episode of the Animation Deliberation Podcast, we got movies we're looking forward to, movies that might get delayed, and most importantly, we get to hear from the people right after these ads we have no control over.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Sing along if you know the words. One, two, three, it's time for Animation Deliberation. A conversation and a celebration of our favorite action animated series. Yeah.
Yeah, welcome back to another episode of Animation Deliberation, the podcast where we take action animation and cartoons seriously, but not too seriously. We are your hosts. I am Zuhara Lee.
My name's Jay Scotty St. Clair.
And I am Andrew Rogers.
And we are giving you this edition of This Week in Animation, May 11th at the time of this recording. We are catching up on a lot of news, but we're still excited to talk about it, even though some of it's been like 2 weeks from now. And one of the biggest stories that we're going to cover is the fact that I finally finished Volume 1 of Star Wars Visions. Yay!
Year and a half later, but you did it.
But for the rest of the people, Volume 2 came out on May the 4th, and my esteemed co-hosts have plenty to say. There will be an episode that's going to go a little more in depth about it, but what do you have for the people as a quick tease of what's to come?
Yeah, I'll give some quick non-spoiler thoughts. On the whole, I'm not sure I enjoyed this season quite as much as I enjoyed season one, but I really appreciated the sheer diversity in different art styles that we got. That was kind of my main takeaway from this season. I felt like there was a lot more culture and style represented, which ultimately made it super satisfying.
Yeah, I feel like a big similar boat. Season one was very specific since it was all Japanese animation studios. It felt very much like an anime style of storytelling across the board. These studios for volume two coming from all over the world definitely gave a breath of fresh air and a lot of different takes on what it could have been. But because of that, I feel like the spread of the highs were higher and the lows were lower compared to volume one was very much like it was all at that same level the whole time. But all in all, it was still beautiful. It was still enjoyable and still like very much an awesome thing, like a great follow up to the first volume, I have to say.
Yeah, hopefully it won't take me a whole year and a half to catch up. Definitely plan on getting to that sooner than later. But I'm definitely excited to watch it soon and catch up with y'all. I need wedding season to be over. Moving on to what is arguably the most exciting animated content of this year, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse tickets are finally on sale.
And good luck if you don't already have it. Yeah, I was about to say, they are going quick. I will tell you that much.
Yeah.
I got on it like 3 or 4 hours late, and I couldn't find anything until like Friday, all the way on the right side of the theater, like still pretty locked out.
Yeah, I tried to do some research on like what exactly pre-sales for tickets looked like, or like, you know, initial incomes as far as the ticket sales go. And I couldn't really find anything solid, but obviously, you know, based on the limited availability of seating already just a few days into them being on sale, and plus the new projections that we're getting, it's projected to gross here domestically in Canada and the United States $85 to $105 million in its opening weekend. So had to be a pretty strong opening right out of the gate in terms of ticket sales.
Yeah, they don't usually just throw those numbers out that quickly, you know, 3 days after the tickets are on sale.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, if you don't hear from us that week, then it's definitely because we took a Thursday off or whatever to go watch that movie. Assuming any of us can even get tickets for a Thursday.
I got mine.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely slacked on that department. I was quick to tell everyone about it, but yeah. I wasn't able to get it myself, so I will have to be
scouring around the depths of the Spider-Verse to find out how to get. All right, so news that I've been very excited about for the past couple of weeks is that we got our first look.
Can we finish up with the Spider-Verse?
Yeah, go for it. My bad.
Okay, yeah, just a few more things to cover. There are minor spoilers out there. I unfortunately read a couple of things that I would have rather not known. So be careful as you're, you know, we talk about traversing the Spider-Verse, but as you're traversing the interwebs, no pun intended there, maybe mute certain terms and whatnot, because there are some spoilers out there. In addition to that, we did get the news that at clocking in at 2 hours and 16 minutes for the reported runtime, this is breaking the record for the longest animated feature ever. And we also got the news that this flick is going to reportedly feature 240 unique characters take place across 6 different universes. So it's going to be epic.
They're just going to set every record ever, aren't they?
That's the goal.
You know, when you say no pun intended and have the biggest grin on your face before the pun even comes out, I question if you're lying to me when it's not intended.
I'll never tell.
The amount recently I have just switched to, you know what, pun intended, because this is funnier this way. Like, everyone tries to say it's not intended. It's
part
intended.
Of my language.
Yes.
Puns are my religion.
Instead of guns.
Okay, that actually was not intended. Just made it even better.
All comes full circle.
Hell yeah. This is the way.
All right. So, yeah, we got our first look of Kiyoshi from Avatar Studios. It is in the form of a game, but I have never enjoyed reading. I haven't willingly read a whole book since like middle school, but Rise of Kiyoshi and Shadow Kiyoshi are two books I was not able to put down. I could not wait for them to make some sort of animated content regarding the storylines of Avatar Kiyoshi. And they finally made a design of her and a lot of the characters from that book into one of Avatar's mobile games that came out. And it got a lot of good reactions to it. It was kind of freaky when I saw it. Like, it was very close to how I always pictured in my head as I was reading those books. I was excited to see the accuracy and a lot of respect to the writers for giving so much detail in those books that everybody was just kind of on the same page of like how Team Kiyoshi looked. And it's just really exciting being able to see those people. I'm hoping that there is some animated content coming out soon that matches those, but being able to see them for the first time was really cool.
Yeah, it's a very bold look to suddenly see just pulled from the imagination and put in perspective. Like, it's been a while since I've had to go through something like this, especially in animation, because usually it's, oh, unique content for animation or coming from comics or manga. So actually having to go from imagination to animation is it's a nice change of pace that's like, oh, this is fun. I forgot what this is like.
I was hoping that it would like give me a high to like start reading books more, but that didn't work out in my favor.
Yeah, unfortunately, I can't add too much to this one. It's kind of like the bane of my existence that I have not had a chance to go back and do my rewatch of Avatar The Last Airbender or The Legend of Korra. That one I need to watch for the first time. But just through listening to you all, I've absorbed that Kiyoshi was like one of the earlier Avatars, if I'm not mistaken. Okay, yeah. But yes. Anyway, you dropped this news into our notes early, just right before we recorded, and I clicked on the link and I'm looking at the Twitter post now, and it's a fetching shade of green. I really like that shade of green.
Ladies and gentlemen, he is an earthbender. We've confirmed that much. That's all we have.
Very Earth Kingdom. All right, well, that's it from the Avatar verse. What do we have for Unicorn Warriors Eternals?
Yes, Unicorn Warriors Eternal debuted on Star Wars Day, May the 4th, on Adult Swim, and was available on HBO Max the next day. I had the opportunity of watching those first two episodes, Awakening Part 1 and Part 2. And if you didn't think Gindy Tartakovsky was already back with Primal, he is back, baby. And at the time of this recording, the third episode will premiere this evening. So timing wise, it's kind of a shame that I can't talk about the third episode until later this week. But it's as a kind of a nerd and fan of geeky like content, it's scratching all those itches. It's got the high fantasy, it's got the steampunk, and it's just all beautifully brought to life. So I'm really excited to see how this season continues to shake out. And if you're not watching it, I highly encourage you to check it out.
To the list.
The list grows ever longer.
Indeed, indeed.
But
well, yeah.
Well, I was going to say, it seems like we might have a little bit of time buffer, unfortunately, before more things are adding to the list, because, you know, L.A. and Hollywood are just heating up out here. Jay Scotty, what is going on? What are the boots on the ground reporter in our group have to say?
Oh, sure. Yeah. So if you haven't heard, you must be living under a rock. But the WGA, the Writers Guild of America, is currently striking in Hollywood. And on the live action side of things, we've already heard of a number of pauses in productions and delays. On the animation side of things, this will likely affect films before it affects series as much. And just to provide a little context, the majority of animation writers out there are represented by the Animation Guild, TAG for short. It's fun to say that one, as opposed to the WGA. But for most high-profile animated shows, like things you're going to catch on Fox on Sunday night, those are actually represented by the latter, larger guild, the WGA. So if this strike lasts long, don't get me wrong, I certainly hope it doesn't. It's been compared to the 2007 Writers Guild strike, which lasted about 3 or 4 months and had rippling effects. It will take a while for the impact to be seen in animation, but if it sticks around long enough and they don't find common ground or middle ground or start to, you know, have some, the word is escaping me right now, but basically come to an agreement. There's a list of shows that could face potential delays and pauses in production. So just kind of running down the list: American Dad, Big Mouth, Bob's Burgers, Central Park, Disenchantment, Family Guy, Futurama. That one I've kind of like particularly highlighted and put an asterisk next to because it's supposed to come out this summer. So on the one hand, I don't know how likely it is it'll actually be impacted because it seems to be done, but it could be as a like move of solidarity on the part of the writers, which would be an absolute shame because we're this close, we're so close. But also The Great North, Housebroken, King of the Hill, Koala Man, Rick and Morty, The Simpsons, and Solar Opposites. So a lot of shows on that list that I might not have spoken about on this podcast, but a majority of those I really do enjoy.
Is Koala Man one of them?
I did not like Koala Man. I watched episode one of Koala Man and could not go any further. If you like Koala Man, more power to you, but not for me.
I didn't even know what Koala Man was, and I was just kind of laughing to myself, like, man, just imagining a crappy Batman as like a guy in a koala costume, and I Google Koala Man, and the first thing that comes up is exactly that, a guy in a crappy koala costume. So I don't know what it is, but name. It had my attention for a moment, and then, yeah, I saw like 6 out of 10 on IMDb or something like that and said, oh, well, okay, probably not for me, but it's a funny concept.
Yeah, Rick and Morty and Central Park are the two big ones on that list for me, and we joke, but there's also seriousness to how much we talk about, like, the animators having to work overtime and not see their families and, you know, potentially getting abused with their, you know, with their time and compensation and stuff. So it really is a crappy situation. And we just kind of hope that everything ties up because it takes a lot of creativity and a lot of hard work and very special people to be able to come up with stories that a lot of these names have. You know, things like this don't come out of anyone's brain. So we just hope that everything works out and it's to the writer's benefit.
Yes, for sure. We are totally in support of them. Like, they do so much work to not get as much credit or as much money as the, you know, bigger stars of the world end up usually getting on TV and movies. So definitely get them a little bit more of the, you know, credit they deserve, because living in Hollywood now, I've been able to just meet the occasional writer and they are just like, yeah, I'm between work right now because I worked on this show that wasn't that great, so I'm hoping to get something else. And it's like, you're a super fun guy and you're super funny. Why don't you have jobs? And it's like, oh, because there's so much competition and so many bad working conditions that you have to get through to get to the next job. So definitely hoping to improve things for them is a big, big part of the next steps of making all of this better for, you know, both the people working on it and the people watching it.
Yeah. And a number of these shows I know come out on Netflix, and we had talked like months back at this point in time, but Netflix was actually looking to like reduce their animation output like significantly. So it's kind of like a double-edged sword for writers of animated content for Netflix studios particularly. So they do need all the support, especially like in this age of new media. Streaming services have dominated the entertainment landscape in the wake of the 2007-2008 Writers Guild strike. And on top of all this, we didn't really talk about it here, but a big part of the strike is AI. Like Andrew, I think you were talking, and Zuhair as well, you were talking about how these stories have to come from someone's imagination. But that is like, you know, one of the big aspects there, as AI becomes more and more sophisticated and more capable of generating stories and the line kind of gets blurred. How do we protect our writers from, you know, Judgment Day?
Yeah.
It feels so weird that it was just months ago we had the Kevin AI joked about in, you know, She-Hulk as like, oh, this is what's writing the things for all the people. And now it's a legitimate part of the conversation of how do we handle when the first Kevin bot does come along? Do we use it? Do we not? How do we make sure that it's not just completely trumping everything out there? There's a lot of interesting facets to it, and no laws have caught up to anything with AI. So it's intriguing to see that the Writers Guild is probably going to be the first people that are taking a stab at what this actually looks like.
iRobot is coming.
She-Hulk smash.
All right, for a show that has been delayed far too many times and supposedly canceled far too many times, Andrew, what you got for us in the Young Justice world?
Yes, this is just an exciting piece of not news, but news. There's a company out there called Parrot Analytics, and you can look up all of the data that I'm about to go through. They pull data from streaming sources, downloads, and anything that they can get their hands on to kind of measure really just anything when it comes down to, you know, production and demand. And they just released Young Justice analytics of the past like 30 days. And holy crap, are these way better than we ever could have thought, and hopefully bid a good sign toward what we're going to get in the future. It came in at 15.2 times higher demand than your average TV show in the US would have. So in the top 3% of TV shows within the US, which is absolutely flabbergasting just to hear those numbers of like, oh, Young Justice is skyrocketing far and away just to be super duper popular. I think we've even talked about it's one of the few shows that has like crashed HBO Max when it launches, kind of thing. And to know that it's still doing that is incredible. And then on top of that, in the action and adventure category, they're the 94th percentile of being the most popular for action and adventure. And they had an interesting graph in there, which I thought was awesome. They didn't have any numbers on it, but there you could see all the way at the bottom of the graph was this flat, slightly downward line that was just regular superhero series. And then you had Young Justice far and above away, just actually kind of trending upward toward the end of it, being, oh, there's more interest in Young Justice instead of other superhero shows. I was blown away at how popular this is. And I don't know if there's room in James Gunn's DCU for this, but it seems like if they look at numbers, Warner Brothers should probably put some attention back on this show, because it's amazing how great they have done with this.
I mean, James Gunn straight up said that Young Justice and Justice League Unlimited is going to be kind of like the foundation of like how they want to build this new DC universe. And with DC's live action having a lot of hit and misses, I don't want to say that they're good, I don't want to say they're bad, because everybody has their own opinion about each of the movies. You know, DC fans crave good representation of iconic characters, and they don't get it in the live action stream consistently. So to be able to come to this show that has a diversity of heroes and great storytelling and universe building, and the fact that we built from like five heroes to just having so many people that we care at such a high level about, you know, this show is incredible. The fact that this chart is from the last 60 days, like, good for them for finally getting some attention on the board of understanding like how good DC animated content can be.
And I think that's the craziest thing that you mentioned. This is in the past 60 days it's this popular. What did it look like months and months ago when it actually premiered? Because it has to have been better than this. This is just retention.
Yeah. I got to wonder if the upcoming, you know, Flash and Blue Beetle films have anything to do with that, with James Gunn having cited Young Justice as kind of an influence. And, you know, in the wake of a lot of cancellations of DC properties, even though we haven't heard anything definitively about a season five for Young Justice, it hasn't been officially canceled. So we always have hope and we can always hold out. And these numbers that we're hearing, you know, I want to take a little bit of credit as this podcast, like, you know, Young Justice was our flagship show for quite some time. So in addition to that, I do want to take a moment to say I, for one, welcome our robot overlords, because I feel like ever since I badmouthed the AI Zencaster, that's like throttling me here. So just got to cover all bases.
I didn't even put two and two together. That was where you just disappeared for a moment to the abyss. Welcomed you.
I thought you were just staring in intrigue this whole time.
The negative zone got me for a second there.
Oh my gosh, we're just really pulling out all the stops on this one.
Like, see how we do that editing for you tonight.
Oh, we do have an AI editor. I forgot about that. It's listening. Oh no. Listeners, this might go in as the lost tape. If you hear this episode, know we're out there somewhere.
You're talking to nobody right now.
That's hilarious. Well, the last note that I want to have then, however, here is we talk about DC animation and, you know, Zuhair, you mentioned this is a great cast of characters. James Gunn's talked about having the same people in animation and live action, and I am all here for Kari Payton to be our live action Aqualad Aquaman, and Jesse McCartney in a Nightwing suit. Just sounds like a hilarious mix up that I'm ready to put on the screen.
I need it. I need it. Oh boy. Yeah, that's it for all the news that we have. If there's anything that you guys are excited about that you want us to be excited about, please send us email animationdeliverypodcast@gmail.com.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah,
I will also take that
feedback.
We got some great feedback on many different things that we have coming out from some of our lovely listeners.
We're doing Animant first.
But that's not how it is in the notes.
Well, I told you how we were doing it and you never changed it, so mental notes. So before we get to the Animated segments, I do want to give a shout out to friend of the podcast and fellow Panda. Sarah Day McDougall, along with Meegs and James, are starting a Harry Potter podcast called Peeves Gap Fest. The first episode dropped this week. It's because HBO announced that they're doing a series based off of each of the books, and they are actually doing an episode for each chapter of the books and comparing that to the movies and talking about stuff that they want to see out of this show. So if you're a Potterhead, then be sure to check out Peeves Gap Fest, wherever you find your podcast. Now, on to our animes, which I just noticed hopped to where it's supposed to be on our notes section. Andrew, you got a couple of things to talk about.
Yes, I do. You know, that's where I've just been, is the anime caves, as is plenty to happen. But I did finish Ranking of Kings, so I finally want to give a roundup of the entirety of the show. And it's not really going to contain much of season two. Season two is still coming out, and they're all basically, for lack of a better word, filler episodes, because they legitimately are filling in like little gaps between the episodes of the first season. So they're all like basically shorts that fill it in. So it's fun, but I'm not going to talk too much about that. But if you were curious, because there was questions like 2 weeks ago, is it a movie? Is it a second season? What is it? That's what the air quotes second season is. It's like season 1.5, according to the animators. They're like, it's bridging the gap. We'll get more story in the future later on. But without further ado, 1 minute on the clock, starting now. Okay, this show is so cute, so fun, and so just amazing. It gives you so much hope about who you can be as a person, who these characters can be as a person, because they all have the biggest flaws and are all kind of hateable people, but they all have the most redeeming qualities because of the way that they care about each other, the way that they interact. It's just amazing across the board. And Boji is the best character just ever. I don't know what else to say about him. He's cute, he's fun, you want to root for him out the gate as like your main protagonist. And he's a protagonist that legitimately cannot, you can't hear him, you can't do anything, so you just have to pick up on his motions the entire time, and you feel so many things that you can see that he's feeling. And yeah, it's just across the board super interesting, almost Game of Thrones level of backstabbing and twists and turns that you don't know what's going on throughout the entirety of this show. And yeah, the story will keep you in from episode 1 to episode 25, without a doubt.
That is a dark comparison for a show that has such a cute cover.
It's like not far off, though. I saw Jay Scotty nodding at me because I know he has also watched this show, and you're like, yeah, no, it's there. There's There's literally only one character that I think doesn't betray anyone at some point, and it's like my favorite character.
Okay.
Jay Scotty, they have three heads.
Okay.
I think that's the one character that doesn't betray anyone the entire show, or at least betray their morals, I guess.
Sure. Because I was thinking Boji, and then also
I can't
remember his name, but he was the squire to Boji's original trainer. But he was a little conflicted, but he didn't do anything reprehensible. I would say.
Yeah, they've all got their flaws, and yeah, go give it a watch for sure. I'm mad it took me so long to watch it, honestly, because like you look at it and it's like, oh, what's this cutesy fantasy show? And then you watch it and you're like, oh no, this is super hype.
Yeah, but you call this art style kind of cutesy, and it surely is cutesy, but I that's kind of what I love about it, is like all the characters look so unique, and it's such a unique art style. Like it kind of feels like a throwback to like the animes from like the 60s, 70s, kind of like Speed Racer, Astro Boy-esque, but
very much
not afraid to be goofy with it though too, which is, you know, juxtaposition really nicely with like the intrigue and action that you referred to.
Yeah,
hearing that those shows are from the 60s and 70s is just so baffling to me.
Yeah, Speed Racer was a long time ago, I feel like. Just like Transformers as a cartoon, I'm excited for that movie. Yeah. That's just a side plug because I keep seeing the trailers and I'm like, oh, this is gonna be fun.
I saw a tidbit today that the scene where Gohan goes Super Saiyan 2 for the first time was 30 years ago today. And I was like, I remember watching that scene in middle school. It's weird to think that it's literally as old as I am. I turned 30 yesterday.
Crazy, crazy. And happy birthday as well.
Happy belated.
Yes. So my next show, I'm not actually going to take an anime minute. This is just a show that is coming out. There's like 5 episodes up right now, but I wanted to let everyone know about this show. It's called Mashle, Magic and Muscles. I believe it's out on Crunchyroll. I'm not sure where else it is. I'm just going to say it's a Harry Potter parody, pretty much. It's literally just anime Harry Potter, wherein it's all of the tropes from every anime ever. Like, it's a magic world. He doesn't have magic. What's he gonna do? And it's just so silly the way that...
Black Clover, silly.
It's basically like Black Clover, because he's just muscular, and instead of... it's like,
oh my god, it's even called Magic and Muscles.
Yeah, no, it's called Mashle, Magic and Muscles. That's the title of the show. And it's literally like, oh man, I can't fly my broom. Let me just use my massive muscles to jump really high and make everybody think I can fly this broom. And it's so goofy and so fun. But like, if you're looking for a not serious anime, I've been enjoying the crap out of it the past week or two. And there's only like 5 episodes out, so you can catch up super quick. But it's just, it's fun. That's all I wanted to say was like, watch this show if you want a good time, because I've been laughing, which is rare for anime to actually like come across as comedy, not stupid.
So your sign off this week is, instead of Muscle Muscle, is going to be Mashle Mashle.
Oh, that would have been so good. Maybe it will be. You'll just have to wait and see, listeners.
We need a Photoshop look of the muscle mice with just Harry Potter robes on now.
Yeah, there you go.
I did, speaking of robes, I got my Giyu sweater in today, and I'm so excited. I'm just going to be like, oh, we're recording Demon Slayer. Guess I got to wear this sweater now.
Nice. Nice. How long did that take to arrive? You ordered it a while back, huh?
I think it's like a 3-month lead time or something like that. Woo! I believe they make them like by hand, though. So it's...
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah. The company's very good. Steady hands out there. I just got it today, but the quality of it seems fantastic. So if you were looking for it, they have a ton of anime and anime related sweaters and I think shirts and stuff as well.
What was it called?
Steady Hands. Now, again, not sponsored, but plugging, because they seem to know what they're doing.
The best time to wear a Giyu sweater
is all the time.
It's not a collar or a turtleneck, but it is a great sweater.
Pull over. It's a cardigan, but thanks.
Typed in steadyhands.com, and there's just like a little blog of one dude. Like, the whole website is just this dude's face in a little bio. So yeah, Google Steady Hands. Don't go to steadyhands.com.
I'm still
gonna send you to the link.
steady-hands.com is the actual website.
Okay. Again, not sponsored, but give them some love and tell them we sent you.
Yeah, if we get a sponsor with them, I'd be happier than could be.
I was so confused. I was like, is this the guy that makes the sweaters? Who is he?
Oh, we are so far off track because Suhair found this.
All right. Are we moving on to feedback now?
I think we should.
Okay, the first one we have is from...
Sorry, I got the link.
All right, just everyone go to Steady Hands. This guy's going to wonder why he has so much traffic all of a sudden. All right. First email from Chrissy. Happy Star Wars Day, boys. I haven't finished Visions yet, only on episode 5, but I'm loving it so far. Still ahead of me. I just had to quickly mention that after watching episode 5, I never knew how much I need a Star Wars anime until now. I want more. I need more. Now. Like, right now. I'm obsessed with this episode. All right, rant over for now. Stay well, I'm to go plus ultra, my dudes. Bye, Chrissy. Yeah, I mean, she's farther away than I am, but that's how I felt about The Ninth Jedi. It was the second that episode finished, and I, you know, text you guys saying that I've watched it for the millionth time. I need a whole series. I need a whole trilogy just off of that, because it was just such incredible storytelling in 20 minutes, and I can only imagine what she saw to feel the same way. I don't know if you guys have seen anything else in this volume to make you feel the same way, but I'm intrigued.
Yeah, I think I can say, just to address her feedback without spoiling, I don't think it's a spoiler to say that episode 5 is one of 2 episodes that kind of embraces that more Japanese anime style. And it was actually done by Studio Mir, who we know did like stuff like Voltron, the Legendary Defender, the Boondocks, and yeah, it was definitely one of the highlights of Volume 2 for me, probably in my top 3. And yeah, I guess that's all I can say without spoiling. It's definitely a solid episode.
I completely agree. Episode 5 is up there, but like of all of my favorites, I think they're within the first 5 episodes as well. So,
ooh, interesting.
I feel like at that point, you've seen all the things that just in my notes, it's give me more, continue this story. Like, because I love that they gave cliffhangers because that's how you tell an intriguing story. But also, I know I'm never going to get the other side of this cliffhanger. And why did you do this to me? It's like, it's the same as the Ninth Jedi. They left it in a place of like, oh, there might be a world of more Jedi that we can like go find. And then just, I know we're not going to get the 10th Jedi. That's not going to happen, but I can hope. But no, it's definitely great. And I'm glad that she is on top of it. Is she 5 episodes into the second volume or the first volume, though? Because that's the other question.
I mean, she said Happy Star Wars Day, so I imagine she watched it. Like, watched volume 2 as it dropped.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
Because I feel like Ninth Jedi might have been, like, the 5th episode of the first volume, too. That's why I'm like, wait a minute, hang on.
Yeah. All right, our second feedback is from the one and only TJ Stafford. At the end of our Demon Slayer episode, we talked about potentially doing some spoiler Guardian talk. This feedback does not have any spoilers. Well, okay. Let's just call this like spoiler Guardians talk. This is why we saved this part for the end. If you guys haven't had the chance to watch it yet and don't want Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 spoiled for you, thank you guys for tuning in. Be sure to send in your feedback, check in all of the stuff. And we're going to get right into this. Sorry.
You can't just do that.
I see we're changing colors.
Stay well, too.
Mashal. All
right. So, feedback from TJ Stafford. If you guys do plan on having a discussion about Guardians 3 and need another animation tie-in, I'd like to point out that the mid-credits scene with the new Guardians is almost the exact lineup from the episode of Earth's Mightiest Heroes that they guested on. Only difference in the show, Star-Lord was still on the team instead of Kraglin, like in the movie scene. But the rest of the team is the same: Rocket, Groot, Adam Warlock, Phylavel, aka Quasar. Just another fun tidbit I thought you guys would enjoy. I absolutely love Earth's Mightiest Heroes. They set like the standard of what I expect from these heroes as they make their appearance into the MCU. They did a really good job of the Guardians of the Galaxy when they came in. That was a really fun episode. And while James Gunn's Guardians was very different from interpretation, they were very obviously unique and enjoyable in both ways. To talk about the movie itself, that's one of the best movies I've seen in a while, especially MCU-wise. Just the action, the storytelling, the pacing, all of it was just so incredibly done, and I can't wait to watch it in theaters again.
Someone said it correctly when they said the movie is primarily a James Gunn movie that happens to be in the MCU. Like, he wrote a fantastic movie, directed it in the standard James Gunn way, and it's like, oh yeah, we also got these great characters that we've gotten along with for 3 movies. Because yeah, I feel like it might even be one of the strongest trilogies as a whole, because he does a really good job of like tying all 3 of the movies together in a pleasant way. But yeah, I have nothing but praises to sing for this Guardians movie. And just, yeah, you talk about this lineup of characters at the end. Half of them we barely know, and I still love all of them dearly.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I can only echo similar sentiments here. I absolutely loved Volume 3. Hands down, one of the best entries in the MCU period, and in quite some time. And Earth's Mightiest Heroes, like, I've been on record saying how much I love that. So if I'm not mistaken, when the Guardians made their appearance, you talked about Star-Lord, TJ, you talked about Star-Lord appearing in place of Kraglin. If I'm not mistaken, I want to say it was Will Friedle, the legendary Will Friedle, who did the voice of Star-Lord there. Ron Stoppable himself, as well as Eric Matthews from Boy Meets World, amongst many other credits. But TJ, I really appreciate you right now, because you have done my work for me. I'm going to plug the fantasy draft right now that Zuhair does with the aforementioned Sarah Day. In my team, for my Hail Mary, I picked Quasar. And so when I saw Phi Lavelle in the credits, I was like, they're crediting her as Phi Lavelle, but Phi Lavelle has appeared as Quasar. And so you have made my argument for me, TJ. Thank you kindly. Thank you kindly.
Yeah, I don't think you know what level of argument is just about to be caused now. Jeez.
Well, we have our points talk on Tuesday evening. If you're a patron, you can hop onto the call. And yeah, if anybody decides to make an argument, I will definitely bring this up on behalf of TJ and Scoots. I will fight for Phyla points.
Woohoo!
Watching Guardians of the Galaxy and talking about how it was a James Gunn movie, this movie, I walked to the theater and I actually went, I'm genuinely excited for the DC Universe now. If he has it to himself and gets to start from scratch and take his time with it and pick the characters in the order that he wants, I have hopes now. I'm still keeping myself whelmed, but there's optimism.
Yeah, if we get anything like that hallway sequence we got with Beastie Boys Asleep Till Brooklyn, in for such a treat.
Yeah, honestly, my one not even problem with that scene, but I will say, I'm curious to see what James Gunn does moving forward, because this movie played a weird line of, we don't kill people, we're the Guardians of the Galaxy. And then you watch back that hallway fight scene and you're like, no, you killed a lot of people right there. I don't know what
you're talking about. Stupid people nobody would miss.
Yeah, stupid people nobody would miss. Now it's sad. Okay? Now it's sad. But I think that's my one... that's my one point of intrigue is like, what is James Gunn going to do when he has to pull the reins? Because we've seen him do the Suicide Squad. Fantastic take on those characters. Didn't hold back on, you know, having to kill people. Same with Peacemaker. His next outing is going to be Superman. Can't really do that level of over the top with Superman. So I'm really intrigued to see where things go from here. But he did a great job with this, and I can't actually complain that he killed people, because we wouldn't have gotten the amazingness that was this movie. But it
kills people.
It towed a really weird line that they kept being like, no, we can't kill. No, we can't kill. And then just proceed to murder people.
Yeah,
it's fair.
But it looked cool. All of the effects look, you know what? We talk about the loophole of why we're going to talk about this. The idea that the MCU has started to focus on quality over quantity, I feel like really shone through in this movie. Yeah. If this is the level of budget and attention that they're going to put on everything going forward, I think they're going to win a lot of people's hearts back, just because it was over the top. Like, maybe the most janky looking part was the occasional Cosmo moment, but even still, Cosmo was the best girl. And like, absolutely is the MVP, because if she wasn't there to hold that ship together, everyone's dead. So, but like, I think she
made... didn't believe I was bad dog.
Oh,
I've never loved Mantis more than this movie either. Oh yeah, like when she, you know, gave him the confidence, like, you can do it, and it was like part of her power to like give her that. I was like, oh my god, this is amazing.
Yeah, Mantis always like sneaks up on me. I know I love her, but then when like she has her moments like that, like I'm just like, oh, I love Mantis so much. And she had that exchange with, she was giving the defense of Drax. He's like, I'm not sure I appreciate this defense. He's like, it's not his fault. He's stupid. He loves us. And it's funny. She's like, you think I'm stupid? Yes.
Forget. Yeah, I don't know how much more I could say without this going into like its own whole episode, but that was a great movie. I can't wait to watch it again. And I'm glad we had an excuse to talk about it.
Likewise.
There are a couple of loopholes, like time permitting. I'd love to watch Flashpoint Paradox before we go see The Flash. I'd love to watch Little Mermaid again before the new Land Crab rendition.
Oh, no.
There was one more that I had. Oh, we want to do a Spider-Verse rewatch.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
I think that's
so much.
So many things.
Yeah. Yeah, there's so many things. There's so many loophole episodes that we could have. And if there's anything that you guys have any suggestions for, we can't promise that we're going to hit it, because sadly, this isn't our only job. It's not even a job, it's just for fun. But yeah, that's it for me today.
All right. Well, on that note, I encourage everybody once again, send us some feedback, send us some love, animation deliberation podcast@gmail.com, plus all our social media. And
which you can find us on Facebook and Instagram, Animation Deliberation, and on Twitter at AnimationDelib1, as well as on whatever platform you're listening to us on. We would love and deeply appreciate a 5-star rating and review. I'm sure you've heard many podcasts say it, but we really do appreciate those. It's the best way to just beat the algorithm, get more people listening so we could do more things, as well as I can say firmly, I legitimately read every review that comes through, because every week I'm checking to see, do we have a new review that we could talk about on the podcast or talk about amongst us? So if you want to give us that love, we would, you know, wholly appreciate that in whatever form it takes.
I knew you thought we were a good podcast. All right. Thanks everyone for tuning in. That's TOONIN.
And as always, stay whelmed.
Mashal Massel? Muscle? Eh, I don't know.
Magic Muscle. Thank you for listening to the Animation Deliberation Podcast, a proud member of the Stranded Panda Network. If you would like to contact us, you can email animationdeliberationpodcast@gmail.com or follow us on Twitter @animationdelib1. For this and other great shows, you can visit strandedpanda.com or join the great community that is the Stranded Panda Chat Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/SPChat. Tune in next time, and remember, stay whelmed.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.